I didn't check the video.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is All About Wine, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009. Featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
All right. Best people made it out today. Right.
They did. And we already have our guest on the phone with us. Can you hear me? Look at that. Perfect audio.
I'm not getting anything here. I can't hear anything. You haven't hooked this up?
Okay. Yeah, it does. Hold on just a second. Let me, Ron's saying he can't hear you, so I want to make sure that we're on the right channel here. Yeah, you're ready to go there. Ron, you cannot hear him. Is that correct?
I cannot hear him. No, sir.
Let me change something real quick, see if that's out of input. Should be. Yeah, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't. Let me switch over to another. Okay, we'll switch over here. Okay, try talking now.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, there we go.
You got him? Okay, good.
Now I hear you. Can you hear me?
There we go.
I hear you very well.
All right, fantastic. So we are in good shape. Special edition of All About Wine, special Sunday edition. We did this to accommodate our guests. I'm going to destroy your name, so I apologize. Bodvar Hofstrom?
Sounds very well when you say it. Yes, that's
okay.
Me.
Okay, well, how about that? He is our guest. He is the founder of a winery in the south of France, and that's why we're doing our special Sunday show, because he's available today and 6 hours difference going there, as everybody probably knows, because the Olympics just took place and they were 6 hours difference. And so it was, we got the same thing going on here. So welcome to the show, Bodvar.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me on the show.
It is our pleasure. So a lot of stuff I want to talk to you about today, the Nolo and rosés and all that. Give us a little background of you. How did you start in the business, and how long you've been in the business, and starting the winery and all that? Just fill us in on how you got to where you are now.
Well, I come from an old history background from Scandinavian Sweden with alcohol, and we started 1846 a cognac brand called Grandstedt's, and so we were wine importers, and we blend our first cognac in Stockholm, and then on my other side, Hofstrom, my second name is a cigar brand. And we started our cigar company 1855. So from my left side of the family, we have the alcohol with cognac and wine. And from the right side, we have the cigars. So my first name is Bodvar, as you said, and that is a pure rosé brand. And my second name, Hofstrom, is a cigar brand. And Grandstedt's then is a cognac brand today. So these two families, Hofstrom and Grandstedt, they married So they married each other. So 1930, the Grandstedts married into Haftram family. So the cognac married the cigars. that's a story, huh?
That's a story. Yeah. Is the cigar brand still going?
Mm. Yes, yes. And it's actually during the 1855 to 1872, we grown tobacco in Stockholm, believe it or not, during the summer. But now we, So I couldn't tell you about the quality. I read the quality and about it. It was very good. But now when you have Nicaragua, Honduras, and Cuba and so on, which is, you know, another story when it comes to cigar manufacturing. So we have had our factory collaboration in Esteli in Nicaragua.
Oh, okay. So what is it, the Haftram label that's on the cigars?
Yeah, Haftram label, Haftram cigars. And I think you can Google it, Haftram cigars, and it will come up, the logo and how it looks and so on. That's my grandfather on the cigar.
Wow, that's interesting. The reason I asked so much about cigars is we've done a couple of special shows with a group of cigar guys who write blogs and different things on cigars. And so we have dedicated a couple of shows to that. And so that's interesting that it's
fantastic. Fantastic.
Never ran across a combination of wine and cigar before. Something brand new.
No.
You know, I have to look up that cigar brand then. Bodvar. Brand, is that just from France is where that was started?
Yes. So 2007, I saw that rosé should be more than just a wine. That champagne was 30, 40 years ago when they started to, you know, make progress on the international market. And I saw that rosé, it's something special with the taste, with the look, with the pink color and so on. So the market wasn't here. I mean, rosé wasn't premium when I started. So I said to my family that I want to step into the rosé business. And I, since my second names are taken, I'm going to take my first name, Bodvar, on it. And they looked at me and said, Bodvar, that's the worst the winers does. It's rosé. No, we're going to be different, you know. So I didn't have my family behind me when I started. So, and having a premium birth of a brand, you can't just do shortcuts to, you know, build your bank account to do cans or do, you know, to have to look price on it and go in the wrong sales channels out to then consumers. So I said, it shall take time now to build the brand. And, you know, the brand is how many contacts you have and the value of those contacts. I said, let's now wait to see if my, shall we say, if it turns out now, as I'm thinking, that rosé is going to become premium. Because I, you know, that's what's just in my mind. I didn't know about Whispering Angel and Sasha, that they started, you know, at the same time, kind of, over in the United States, and started to talk about premium rosé and also building a brand inside the segment. So, but taking time of that, I mean, in Scandinavia, which I had as my test market in Sweden, of course, it's short, you know, season. It's from April to August. But I thought it was you know, a great, you know, place to start to build the brand and start to, you know, work step by step. And then United States came and, you know, jumped on the rosé trend. And that was quite late, 2011, 2012, I think. So it's a little more than 12 years, I think, United States, the Rosea trend have been going. And it started, of course, on the East Coast up in Hamptons, as you know. And that now you see that Rosea trend is, you know, on starting to also be on the inner states in the United States and start to, you know, become a really strong segment in the whole alcohol category.
Mm-hmm. Now, your rosé idea in making the rosé, was that in Sweden or was that in France?
No, we make everything from France. So, and our cognac, also from cognac and cognac. So, just what we have from Sweden is our heritage and our family name and my first name. And of course, I running some of the marketing and logistics planning from Stockholm. But otherwise, everything is made out from Provence.
You have your own vineyard?
No, we never had our own vineyards. We have always collaborated with the best wine yards there is. So we have always been, you know, shall we say, working and looking for the best wine yards out there. And for us now, it's very important that we have wine yards that can meet the volume growth that we see and have. So it's very important to have, you know, be able to come after volume and also quality. So that's the most important for us. We have our heritage and we have the why we're doing this, but then we need to have, you know, big quantities to be able to grow globally.
You use the Pinot Noir grape for your rosés or what?
Grenache is the most common grape there, and then we can have, you know, different grape varieties when we put this together, and for us Grenache is the most important and that have the most concentration of that. And then we can actually blend in other grapes into it, but high concentration Grenache.
Okay. And then you, so you have a winery and you do your fermentation and everything at the winery, but you buy the grapes.
Yeah. We do the fermentation in the winery. And as you know, with Rosé wine, it's, you know, the skin is just, you know, to the juice between 2 and 24 hours.
Right.
And so it's a very, very short time to do it. So you get exactly the pale, color into it.
The rosé color. Do you make your rosés dry or kind of sweet or what style do you go with?
Yeah, I mean, we have the Grenache and Cinsault also. So when we have this, you know, grape varieties, is, you know, it's actually, you know, very dry, and it's starting, you know, the fruit and up dry, and then also you have the little Syrah also inside the blending, and then roll the, you know, we can also add some years into the blending.
Oh, okay. So basically, you make a dry style, and then you do blending to get the level of sweetness or dryness you want with your blends.
Exactly. So it's. I mean, it's a living product, rosé wine. So I mean, you know, it goes from year to year, and we need to, you know, follow our style we have, and then, you know. Sometimes, you know, we're adding, as I said, the rolled grape to really get the sting on it, to really get the right finish. But, Provence wines, Provence rosés is famous for being dry.
Yeah, usually that's noted for that area. That's very true. I understand, well, since we're talking about rosé, before I get into my next question, the original letter I got from Alessandra is that you are a creator of National Rosé Day. How did that come about, and what is that?
Well, 2014, I was sitting with some friends in New York, and it came up, why doesn't rosé wine has its own days, own day in the calendar? I mean, you have all different days and so on to celebrate. So I was saying that, well, I want to initiate the National Rosé Day, and I did that. So 2015, we had our first National Rosé Day celebration in Hamptons, and I put it on the second Saturday in June. So it's always on a Saturday, so because then people are off and can be with friends and family and so on. So I was thinking that the rosé wine should have its own day, and I'm very happy to see people when they, you know, of course, I'm most happy to drink my rosé, but I'm very happy that they celebrate National Rosé Day. They dress up, they're with friends and family and so on. So that's, you know, it's a fabulous day. And it's grown very, very big. And I'm very, you know, proud and happy to see how big it has become.
And now, okay, I have been trying to make notes on calendars of different wine holidays throughout the year, and it's unbelievable how many different dates I get for the same holiday. It's just it drives me crazy is what it does. It's just I can't tend to find one calendar that says, okay, these are the dates, and I look on another one and it's got completely different dates. For example, Rosé Day, I noticed one, International Rosé Day was the 14th of this month, 14th of August. And then I found another one where it was, well, rotating, but it says it was June the 8th, which was the second Saturday in June, which is what you say is the proper time for Rosé Day. But you know, just, you know, no question there, just comment. It's just crazy how many different dates they have for these different holidays.
I think that, you know, we were the first one starting this. And of course, you know, it was very important for us to have the big media houses to point on our day. So we had like 3-4 years before anybody else started to, you know, start their own days. So I'm just happy that, you know, Rosé Wine has, you know, the headlights on it. And I'm happy that people celebrate it. And I'm very happy also that our days is the biggest now. And I've seen, you know, that Australia has one in, I think, in January, February, I don't know what it is. So, and it's international one, but we have the National Rosé Day, and based out from the United States.
Okay, so I will make a note of that on my calendar, and it will be what I will announce from now on. Second Saturday in June is International Rosé Day.
That's good.
There will be no confusion on that one now. I know that for sure. I'm talking to the creator.
That's
a good thing.
I'm happy for that.
Yeah, me too. Okay, now, what I want to get into next is your transformation, I guess, switching over, reshaping, whatever words we want to use, to the no alcohol, low alcohol trend that seems to be going on around the world. What started you in that? Why are you into that? What is the purpose? There's all sorts of questions on that. But, I'll let you tell me about the
I understand your question. I mean, it's different doors into the same market place. I mean, we are Prima Rosé brand, and we have seen now that the millennials and Generation Z drinking lesser, and they're very keen on, you know, healthy lifestyle and so on. So rosé wine, I mean, it's I mean, it's a better choice, of course, than the high alcohol. If you come to vodka and tequila and whiskey, of course, it's lower alcohol inside, and also lower sugar halt inside. And so we have seen now that the trend goes from actually drinking hard liquor to no and low. No is zero alcohol, and low, according to us, is around where the wine and lays around 12-13% alcohol percentage.
That much.
So when we've seen this, yeah, please go on. What did you say?
Oh. Okay.
Did you say anything? I keep going. So what? Yeah.
You said low alcohol was up to 12%.
Low alcohol. I mean, if you look now on the different alcohol in general, you have vodka around 40%. You have tequila from 35 to 50, I believe, and you have the higher alcohol. And when you come to zero, it's zero. And when you come to low, different people say different things, but we think it's around where wine is today. So the no-low trend, around the world is that going from the hard liquor, from, vodka and whiskey and so on, towards this, no and low, where we think it's 12 and zero ish. And so that's where we want to, come out and have people to celebrate and to party, but maybe, stop drinking a little bit, but not stop partying. And this is a big thing we have seen in Europe, and I see it in the United States also, is when you're sitting on a restaurant and so on, and you sit there with a Diet Coke or water, and everybody asks you, why are you going to drive at home? Or, comes a discussion where maybe it's not so nice for the person that, just maybe want to have a day off drinking or something. So
right.
I think that, when we're coming out now with a zero and we name it Boulevard number zero, we're not putting the alcohol free on the front. We put it on the back. Of course, going to stand in the menu that is alcohol free, but it's just one ordering it. And then you can have the bottle in the ice bucket with the other bottles of alcohol, rosé. And then you can actually take out and be togetherness with your friends and family. And you can maybe have a white week or white month, or, maybe you're pregnant and so on, but you still want to be, inside the among the friends and so on. So we've seen that is a very, very, very big need. And also from the alcohol industry that also, mainly around the world, been built up by high alcohol brands. And inside vodka and whiskey and tequila. And those salespeople have been very good to, been very easy for them to sell the big brand in vodka. They can do it in the bar in 29 seconds. But this need now from the big alcohol companies to have brands inside the no-lo that these spirit guys or can sell in 29 seconds as well. So we see a shift on the market now, and we saw it early, and we want to lead this no-lo transformation, and we see that there's a big need for it, and I'm so happy to talk about it. And I'm traveling to United States tomorrow, and I'm going to do media and talk about the no-lo transformation and how important it is, I think, for people to be having, brands that they can be part of, even they don't drink alcohol.
Now, the no alcohol, how do you drive at the no alcohol? Mm-hmm. I always understand there was a little bit of alcohol in the no alcohol. What do you do to generate your no alcohol brand?
No, I mean, it's actually... exactly. It's like in beer. Some beer says they're non-alcohol, it's 0.5% alcohol inside. We have 0.0. And
India.
Yeah. So we make the wine as, you know, traditional rosé, and then we vacuum the alcohol out from it. It's a new technique, which is quite new. Then you So it actually, if you go back to beers and non-alcohol beer was not so good 5-10 years ago. It's fantastic now. So they have been actually leading the non-alcohol transformation, also technique inside beers. And now the new technique have come to the wine sector. So non-alcohol wine before have been, you know, not tasting so well, if I say so. But now it's fantastic, and it's very hard to taste the difference between now our rosé wine with alcohol and our Bourbon Number Zero with non-alcohol.
That is just so strange, because I've had no alcohol wines before that were just no body to it. It seemed like the body came from the alcohol, which is odd, but maybe it was a mental thing too. I knew I was drinking no alcohol, and I was looking for faults. But
it's so funny you say, because when I'm sitting now and we do wine tasting, everybody's very like negative from start, because they have had such a bad experience before. So they're starting from zero or minus, and they say, "Wow, this is fantastic." So I'm looking forward to my media trip now in the United States to share, bottle up Bourbon Number Zero.
And you don't have a presence in the United States?
No, we have presence. We're selling in Florida. We're selling in New York. And we are now continue to expand throughout the United States to different states. So we see a really, 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 really nice growth.
Oh, that's good. I'm in Florida, so I can go down and find your Bourbon Number Zero at...
You can find... Yeah, our Number Zero we haven't launched yet, but you can find our other rosé wines in Florida. So we launch it now, third quarter 2024 here. And then, but if you go to Florida today, you can drink our other rosé wines, but they have alcohol inside.
Your method of removing the alcohol, you said that's rather new. You don't use the old methods then at all? You use this vacuum method?
Yeah, we suck it out, the alcohol from it. And it's really a new method since, you know, a little over a year ago. And
wow.
I've been actually trying to find a zero for many years now, but I have had the same experience like you, which have been tasting terrible. And but now with this new technique, now you have the taste, you have the color, and now I can put my name on it and be proud.
There you go. There you go. Now, you mentioned Gen Z and millennials. Are they your primary target for this no alcohol, low alcohol, or the Gen Z and millennials are infamously not drinking wine. Do you think this will convert them over a little bit more?
Yeah. It depends where we are in the world, first of all. But I see that our consumer group, our target group, is very wide. I mean, and I want Boudoir, with Pure Rosé brand, to follow the customer through life. And can we actually be on the first date? Can we be on the wedding? Can we be then when they have a white month? Can we be then when they celebrate their birthdays and among friends? So I think the situation where we can come into natural consumer behavior, I think it's quite wide, and also our target group. So I see then, you know, why I mentioned Generation Z and millennials, because we have clear numbers on them that they stepping away from the hard liquor and drinking less. But they still want to party. They still want to, you know, be among friends. And they don't want to maybe sit there and, you know, answer questions where they're doing drinking that night, you know. Mm-hmm. So we see there it's a you know, great demand for it.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I mean, the millennials, though, it just, they seem to be going away from alcohol completely. And so maybe you're catching them at a good time to introduce the no alcohol. And
I see the non-alcohol. I think, of course, you know, you can step away 100%, but I think, you know, the new consumer group will not step away from alcohol 100%. Maybe they want to, you know, a Friday afternoon between 3 and 5, maybe they drink zero and the rest they drink, you know, our alcohol, so they can balance their night. So we see that the future consumer and the consumer, of course, today, they are not really, I will not drink again. They maybe want to balance the drinking, but, you know, still be out and have a lifestyle, you know, feeling on their lunch or, you know, where they are.
Mm-hmm, yeah, because the boomers are getting older and dying off, I hate to say, but it's happening. And the market is starting to be affected by that. And
the approach to
Gen Z is of great concern to the alcohol industry, I think. And, you know, the millennials and Gen Z, particularly Gen Z, millennials are getting up there. They're starting to drink more. But Gen Z is turned away from it, you know, energy drinks and stuff like that. And so, you know, the low alcohol, no alcohol trend, I've talked about it on the show before, and it seems to be more popular than what we realize out there.
You're really pointing on it. It's two sides here. You see the consumer group going for the lower alcohol and no alcohol, but they still want to be, you know, out in the bar, out where, on the beach club or out with friends. But then you have the whole, this exactly would say, the alcohol industry here. And the alcohol industry is built on alcohol brands with high alcohol, 40%, 50%. And now, when the consumer goes another way, they need to transform. But then they have, like, you know, a lot of salespeople. And the salespeople have been selling brands, not opening up a wine bottle and talk about the grapes and talking about the slope and so on. So we see it's a big demand also for the industry to have a clear brand, strong brands that their spirit salespeople can sell in 29 seconds as they sell their famous vodka when they go into the bar. So I think this is a lot to do in the, you know, for our company now to meet the needs now on the market, from the end consumer, but also from the alcohol industry here.
No, okay. So, you really think that the basic concept of getting into the label and getting into the wine more that way and all that has became, what's my word, not forgotten, bypassed? You think that it's the aspect of having a discussion about the grapes and where they come from and all that is sort of an old tradition? And the new tradition is just to ignore that and drink what's inside it. I know.
Just look on Pernod Ricard now. They sold their wine section of the company, and they kept the champagne and, of course, the spirits. and why they do that. And I believe that, you know, I think there are 18,000 salespeople around the world, that it's hard for them to sell, you know, not strong brands. So I think it's two different types of salespeople. You have the sommeliers, you have this, you know, traditional wine distributor company that's very, you know, very good on you know, selling to sommeliers and food and beverage on hotels. But then you have this, you know, spirit side of the alcohol companies that sell brands. And I believe that, you know, since they the needs out there is differently, I think they need to also build up and gain brands on the no-low segment. I believe that the vodka and whiskey and tequila are going to continue to be, you know, out there and strong. But I believe it's going to decrease and I believe in the future, because you see how the new generation having the same consumer behavior as their fathers or grandfathers.
And they seem to have a different approach to it too. Whenever you even TV and advertisements and print advertisements seem to gear up toward the millennials and Gen Z as a non-drinking group, and they have more of the energy drinks the lack of alcohol seems to permeate the advertisements. And And the wine industry is always, everything I read is the wine industry is talking about how they're losing sales to the Gen Zs and millennials. And yet you're saying that your low, no approach tends to grab them and bring them into it. Why do you feel that
I would do a comparison. I would do the comparison. In China, you don't drink alcohol, you drink brands. In China. And I believe with the millennials and Generation Z, they drink brands. So I think inside the no-low, there are not so many strong brands, or there are very few. So I think that, you know, a lot to do in this segment to actually attract the Generation Z, the millennials, exactly how the Chinese drinking brands. So I think it's a comparison to do there.
Oh, so, okay. So the brand tends to take priority over just about anything else. Once they find a brand that they enjoy, that's what they stick with, because it is their style.
I think so. I of course, the quality and it's very important, of course. But I think that, you know, when you're coming to, you know, the lower and no-low segment, they're not strong brands as they are in the vodka and higher alcohol percentage brands. So I think that, you know, to attract also the millennials and Generation Z, you need to have brands attract them, their lifestyle and who they are.
Well, I think also, too, they are influenced by peer pressure a lot in those two segments. We have the influencers out there and all this. I think peer pressure that aspect of it has a lot to do with it. I mean, if your brand is discovered by an influencer, all of a sudden it takes off. I mean, it's brand, you know, and there you go back to the brand again. It's not like, you know, I've discovered this great rosé. It's like, oh, I've discovered this rosé through Bourvoir, and it's fantastic, and it's more of a brand than anything. They are influenced a lot more so, I think, than previous generations. I may be wrong on that, though, if I look back on it, but it just seems like the Gen Zs and millennials tend to I hate to say this because they'll get mad at me, but they tend to follow the crowd a little bit more than previous generations. But like I say, they'll get mad at me for saying that.
No, I think you're perfectly right. I mean, they're living with a phone in the hand now and looking on, you know, what goes on in the world, and it's a lot, you know, going on with the fashion and design and I mean, rosé alcohol, we are part of a consuming market. And this new generations are following what to wear, what to drink, what to eat, and they want to be looking like a certain person and so on. So, I mean, this whole internet era have done it, you know, the consuming market so differently. And so you see exactly what you say, how influencers now is running trends and so on. But it all is going to come down to it need to be organic. What I mean with that, it need to be trustable with the things you're doing, and it need to be quality in also what you're doing. And I've seen, you know, the new consumers, they like, you know, heritage. They like that. They like to have quality. So with this said, I think that, you know, with the Nolo now, which is actually, you know, rosé wine is one of the oldest wine types, and you know, no alcohol have you know on wine have gone on for a long time also, but this together, how you coming with the quality now, tasteful now, you put a brand to it, and you have other, you know, rosé with alcohol inside the brand, and now you can have a zero, meaning that you can stand there not being, you know, again, the boring person around the table.
Yeah, and the odd one out, and it's good for the designated drivers and stuff like this now too. They can still have the non-alcohol and not have to be, I don't know, left out of the group of drinking. They've got their glass of wine that way also. I had a question when you do it, and I talked and forgot my question. Back to the alcohol content in it. The method removes all the alcohol, so you have no alcohol in your no alcohol wines.
It's zero alcohol. Yeah.
That it always seems to me that previously there was always an issue with an amount of alcohol still left in it. I mean, I used to teach a class, you know, 10 years ago, and whenever I talked about these low alcohol and no alcohol wines, it was still, you know, 2 or 3% alcohol in these in no alcohol wines with the methods they were using. This does remove it all, then, you're saying. There is no alcohol in it at all.
No alcohol at all inside. And that's very important because if you're pregnant or if you want to drive home, you need to be very, you know, certain it's zero and nothing that is around zero. Either zero or not zero. So that's why I think it's strange that, you know, some, you know, non-alcohol says it's zero, but it's, you know, little alcohol inside anyway. So I think that is confusing for the end consumers.
Yeah, without a doubt it was. That's why I used to always warn people that and no alcohol really actually contain a little bit of alcohol. And you say the quality there. I'm still stuck on the poor quality from a few years ago. You say the quality and the taste and everything is there, except the fact that it just not does not have alcohol.
Yeah. Exactly. It's different ways now. I mean, how you take out and how you make zero. And before, you're up to 60 degrees Celsius. Now you're down to 30. So that means that you keep the taste, you keep the quality, you keep the wine-ish feeling inside. So otherwise it was like, I mean, it was terrible. And yeah. As I said before, I taste things so much terrible is zero, because I had this, you know, I wanted to add a zero to my Rosea family for years, but I haven't found. But now with this new technique, I can stand up straight in the back and put my name on it and be proud of it. So yeah, I'm very happy.
Yeah. You do not just make a rosé though. What other wines do you make?
No, we just do rosé wines. So
that's all you do.
We do rosé. Just rosé, no red, no white, no champagne. So we just do rosé.
That's extremely interesting that you just do a rosé. That's, you know, because usually in most wine use it's sort of like an afterthought, a rosé.
Exactly.
Not a primary, but just. Oh yeah. By the way, we do make a rosé. I mean, it's usually one of that type of approach.
Exactly.
<Yeah.
laughs>
You know?
No, we want to be pure. We want to be known for rosé, and so I think it's very important in this fast-moving world that the consumer that you stand out, that they have a relation to a clear message. And so we're very, you know, keen on to just be a rosé brand, meaning no red, no white.
Yeah, wow. So your Boudoir number zero, that's not your first rosé, though. You do have an alcoholic rosé, am I correct?
Yeah. We have five rosé wines now, and we have our Côte Bourbons. Grenache and Syrah. I talked before how we, right, you know, blend that year to year. And then we have our number one, which is 100% Syrah. And we have now added the zero now, which come out quarter four now in 2024 here. End of quarter three, beginning quarter four here, we're launching our zero. But now, as I said, I do, you know, our media trip now to United States next week here. So, yeah, to launch the zero.
Okay, so you do have a couple, three others on that. Okay, good. And all of your rosés are dry style. You don't have anything that's sweet.
No sweet. And people says, you know, what makes your wines unique? I said, have you asked any musician what makes his music unique? He makes music he likes, and then he hopefully somebody going to download on Spotify. I make rosé wine I like, and then I hopefully somebody will buy it. So so it's very important that I like, and I like dry, and I like this, you know, typical Provence style.
Okay. Now, if and a question just came up, and you don't have to answer this if you don't, but how close is your Boudoir number one to your Boudoir number zero? I mean, in taste-wise, is except for the removal of the alcohol, do they taste the same?
It's so funny you say that. On the National Rosea Day celebration I had in New York, 8th of June this year, I had the number one. And I had the number zero. Exactly those two I have. I don't know if you heard about that, but it was exactly two. And then we had a blind test in the corner of the celebration, the National Rosea Day. And they couldn't really feel the difference. They couldn't taste the difference. And that is a wow thing. So they said, no, we don't know if it's one or zero here. And then I become very proud that we are on right path here. Yeah, I'm very happy for that.
Yeah, because to have one with no alcohol compared to one that does have, you know, normal alcohol in it, that is amazing. Your rosés rosés typically are lower on alcohol anyway. Are yours, or what range is your rosés? Say your number one.
No. My rosé, my usual rosé wine is around 12% inside, and that is typical for Provence. So that's not lower, and so that is among the others, I would say.
Yeah, that's about average for wines. You know, whenever you talk to people that do rosés, they usually tend to give them a little bit lower alcohol in it because they want to keep the color and not ferment too much out and play with it and all that. So mm-hmm. yeah, so around 12% is your regular rosé. Okay, that's so that's amazing. Congratulations on that comparison there, because that would surprise me that they would come out identical, even by removing alcohol. I'm definitely going to have to try one of those because, like I say, I still had this, well, after about 10 years, I still had the bad taste in my mouth about a no-alcohol wine.
Exactly. I did agree with you. I've been experienced so bad non-alcohol. I mean, like, how is this? How is it even, you know, sold? How can you even produce it, you know? Who's going to drink it? But now, I mean, it's not just us now. I think this new technique is going to come more and more for winers. So I think that, you know, the zero going to taste better and better throughout the world. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Like beers.
Yeah, well, yeah, beer is stepping up there too. You can see the difference in those. No alcohol beers is, and again, you know, beers, when they said no alcohol, they used to be like 2% or 1% and still had it, but now they're getting down to zero again, which is interesting.
I think you should not be called zero if it's not really zero. I think that is, you know, something, you know, very important. If you stand zero, you need to be 0-0 and nothing over that. That become, you know, security for the end consumer, according to that.
You're right. Yeah. And you're absolutely right. It says no alcohol. It should have no alcohol, not just a hidden amount in there.
Exactly.
You know, they call it low if they want, and that's okay. But, you know, no. Mike, you're sitting there quiet in the background. Do you have any questions, any comments for Bovar?
I heard you mention premium a few times, and usually when I hear premium, I'm thinking it's a $200 bottle, it's a $300, $400 bottle. What is your average price point or sell price for your rosé? What's that? 200 is about what, 170 in Swiss francs? 169.
I understand your question. So when you say that, I was in Indian Wells, and I was sitting with my distributor, and we were two wine suppliers at the lunch, and he was selling bottles for $100 from Napa, and I was selling them. You know, my wine was out in the menu. If you go to the around $50 to $75. I think his wine was out for $300-$400, you know.
Wow.
And they said that, you know, we have a big consumer group here, and it's like 60 to 85 in the Palm Desert and Palm Springs and so on. So it was a big demand for it there. Yeah. So exactly, what is making a product premium? Exactly. Mm-hmm. And for us now, I think it's very important, you know, when it comes to the quality, it comes to where you're sold, it comes to the brand, it comes for us or in Europe to stay out from bag and box, and nothing against that. I mean, nothing against cans and so on. So it depends, you know, how you know, it's many different things, I think, that comes down to premiumness and so on. But for sure, in America, you have wines that can cost up in Napa, that's for sure.
Yeah, okay. Very good. Thank you. Mm.
What size bottles do you use? 750, or do you use Salomon splits or larger, or you just stay with 750 milliliter?
We do Magnum and Double Magnum. Also, I think we see the demand from the beach clubs in Spain and France. They want to have big bottles. But, mostly it's the 75 centiliter, 750 milliliter bottle. We see the biggest demand. But, of course, we see the Magnum and Double Magnum as well.
You don't do the smaller 175? Yeah, I just want to say you don't do the 175 milliliters and the smaller ones then.
No, but we've seen a demand from the hotels to put it in the mini bars and so on. So we're looking into now, especially with the non-alcohol. And I came back from Turkey, and I was in Istanbul, and there was a big demand from one of the biggest hotel chains there to be able to put non-alcohol in the mini bars. And so we're looking into that as well.
Oh, no, that's interesting. You seem to have traveled all over the world.
Yes, I've been, I travel every second week. And since I'm based out here from France and Stockholm, so if I fly west, I come out to the United States. I fly east, I come to China. We're in Thailand today, and we're selling to various parts of the world. And so it's very, very interesting to see the cultures and see the trends and so on, and how you can translate the trends to, different parts of the world, and to see how the consumer behavior is and how we're changing, and the demands on what people want. And we want to, see here that we can meet the needs from the from the consumer, and we see now that, as we talked about, the trend now from Nolo, and then we of course want to come up with Boudoir Rosé and also have a zero in our family.
Is overall in the world, is the alcohol consumption trends about the same?
Well, as I said, the Chinese, if I talk about them, the drink brands, and if you look now on Europe, I mean, wine is a big thing in Europe, and we see, of course, beers. You have higher alcohol spirits and so on, and I think that we will see that everything gonna stay. But you're jumping a little bit between this. But now we see a movement now. You see that, in the clear trend here, where you move from the higher alcohol to lower alcohol. Mm-hmm. And you see that trend around the world.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. From what I've seen, too, I still get trade journals and stuff. And what I've seen, it's tends to be a little lean away from the higher alcohol spirits into the wine and beer categories. That's interesting. Just a personal question here. Do you live in France full time, or is Stockholm your home?
I'm between Stockholm and Provence. So it's just 2 hours, 45 minutes flight.
No,
I can be good. Yeah, that's all. That's all between Stockholm and Nice, where you land. And I'm between France and Sweden all the time. But as you mentioned there, I travel a lot. So next week I'm in Los Angeles and Miami. And a couple of weeks from now in South America, Brazil. And then I'm going to go over to Asia and China. And then I'm back in the United States again. So, yeah, so I travel quite a lot. But my base is in Sweden and France.
Do you, another personal question, how many languages do you speak?
No, I speak little French, je parle petit français. and Swedish and English and little Turkish, actually. I don't know why, but I learned some Turkish. Not much.
Turkish.
So they should not talk fast to me, you know. So I, basically, it's you know, my Swedish and English and little French and very, very little Turkish.
Oh, okay. You're just traveling all over. I was just curious what languages you speak. And so, very good. Thank you. Mike, any last question before?
Nothing here. Sorry. No, it's been very interesting. And thank you for joining us today. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. If someone wants to pick up any of your wines, are they all under the Bovaar label?
Everything is under Bovaar label. You can go into our website, bovaarrosé.com. And we are on selected places then on the East Coast. And now we continue to expand our market throughout the United States. And we also releasing now the zero end of quarter three, beginning of quarter four.
Fantastic. All right. So anyone out there wants to find some good dry rosés, there you go. That's Bodvar. Rosé. So check it out. And but Vara, thank you for taking the time this evening for you and your place and talking with us. It was extremely interesting, like Mike just said. It's a great approach to the rosé, and I will remember the Rosé International Rosé Day from now on. It will be the second Saturday in June. So I won't forget that one.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for joining us today, and best of luck to you.
Thank you very much for having me on your show, and I hope that you can come and to our celebration on National Cider Day next year we're going to have in Los Angeles. So second Saturday, 2025, I welcome you both to our celebration in Los Angeles.
And that is what date again?
Second Saturday of June. I'm little, you know, I don't know really what day it is yet.
Okay, well, second
you can
Saturday
read the National Cider Day on the calendar. It stands there.
Oh, okay. Very good. And that's going to be in L.A. then. All right. We'll make a note of that. So we'll possibly try to make it out there. So thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you very much, and have a nice day now over the United States.
Thank you. We will.
Thanks.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Fantastic. That was interesting. The no low... it's a zero... alcohol is actually zero, and like I told him, I had some zero alcohol wines. Besides the fact that I can still have the bad taste in my mouth after a number of years, but I've always thought that they contained just a little bit of alcohol in it. I didn't think they were able to remove every bit of it. And he said no. He said they're taking it all out. So it'll be interesting to try his and see what it tastes like. He says they couldn't tell the difference. Mm-hmm. That is amazing. No alcohol wines have always been infamously bad.
Technology changes and their methods are changing, and looks like it's for the better. And I think it's a great thing to have, you know, like you said, so that everyone can party, everyone can, you know, join in and not feel, you know, like the, I don't know, like on the bench, I guess, you know, watching everything happen. But
third wheel, whatever you want to call
it. Just, and go along with it, and then be the designated driver or drive themselves, whatever the case is. But, what a great thing to have, for sure, that option, you know.
And if it tastes good, that's one of the keys there. If it tastes good.
Yes.
And like he said, he compared it to his number one, which is, 12% alcohol. and they mm-hmm. couldn't tell the difference. I mean, that is a
right.
big plus there. So,
yeah, that's big. That's a big deal. Yeah,
it is. It is.
Well, let's see. We will. I don't know if you have anything else to add on this Sunday edition on August 25th, but
we will replay this show this Thursday. What is that? The 29th? I think so. Today's
the 25th,
so that'll be the 29th. Yeah, so
right.
this Thursday we'll replay this show, and then it'll be mm-hmm. also available next Saturday on Flightline Radio. So I haven't mentioned that in a while.
Yes.
Thank you. Flightline Radio, Mike's internet radio show streaming continuously, so you can always just tune into it.
Yes.
I did yesterday. I tuned in to it and listened to it for a while, and then my show came on and I listened to that for a little bit. And I didn't listen anymore.
You don't want to hear yourself.
Yeah, I don't
want to
hear myself. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
So I listened for a little bit.
I get that way.
And,
yeah.
I have on my calendar that this coming Wednesday is National Red Wine Day. And I don't know how true that is because, like I say, everything changes so much. And also Thursday is Cabernet Sauvignon Day, which is the Thursday before Labor Day, which would be this Thursday. So Labor Day is coming up on the 2nd. So it should be, according to what I have here, Cabernet Sauvignon Day is the Thursday before Labor Day, so the 29th. And the 1st of September is, what is that, Cap Classique Day? I don't know what I mean by that. September is California Wine Month, Illinois Wine Month, and Missouri Wine Month. So
wow.
we got lots of stuff coming up here. So we got those three starting September 1st. And then this Thursday, we will have a repeat of our show today. And then on Thursday, the 5th of September, is International Cabernet Sauvignon Day. And it shows it there, whereas this other one says it's Thursday before. So I don't know. You know, I mean, it's like, also Thursday, the 5th, our guest is going to be Stephen Lane, who was on once before. He had written a book that we talked about, Jupiter's Blood. Was that the name of the first book, or is that this one? I think that's the name of this one. No, the first one was Dragon something.
Dragon Vine.
Okay. Dragon Vine was his first book. He was on talk about that. Now we have his newest one, which is Jupiter's Blood. Great book. I had a chance to read it, and it really is a great book. It's available online and on through Amazon. And Stephen Lane, anybody's interested in it, picking it up, but he's going to be on. And always a fun guest. He's very knowledgeable, but he's always fun. I always have a good time talking with him and about his books and stuff like that. So he will be on the 5th. That will be our next live show coming up. So we've got a little gap here before our next one, but we will be on repeat this Thursday. And then you can hear us on Flightline Radio Saturday.
Thursday again. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Very good. Thank you. We will close out the show for today at almost 10 minutes after 2 o'clock. And we'll talk to you all next time live on the show in a couple of weeks. Thank you for tuning in. And have a great rest of your weekend and a great week ahead. And be safe. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Be safe out there.
There you go.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archive shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
And that's it. We are off.